Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 8 of Mark's Gospel. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord stirring in our hearts this morning. If we've ever lived in a day and an hour when God's people need to quit playing church, it is today. You realize when we come on these sacred grounds, it's for one thing, that's to worship our great God, preach the Word of God, and help one another. Aren't you glad there's help at the house of God? Look around this morning. Is there anybody here that don't need help from God today? I appreciate the workings of the Lord. I'm going to read only 5 short scriptures this morning. I won't preach long. I want to give you this little thought, and then we'll go on in our service. The Bible said in Mark 8, verse number 22, "And he cometh to Bethsaida. They bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees a-walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored, saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town." You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless you. We thank you for the workings of God today in our lives and heart and church. We pray for America, oh God. We pray for our president. Should protect him, lead and guide him, and our vice president today. Help our community, touch our sick. God, if it's any here lost today, I pray you deal with them by your hand of grace. Help us now. I pray you let preaching be easy a few moments. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. In this passage, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, the Bible simply said this in verse 24, "And he looked up and said, I see men as trees a-walking." Now here's the story of the blind man. There were some people that got involved in this blind man's business. They had heard a lot about Jesus and how good He was. I wonder if anybody heard about how good Jesus is this morning. So no doubt they'd heard and they'd seen what Jesus had done. And they'd seen this blind man that had never been able to see. There's no doubt many of the family had given up on him. Many of his friends had given up on him. But there was somebody that believed in somebody. If they could get him to him, he could give them sight in his way. And I want to preach on this simple subject this morning. Things look different now. Things look different now. Could you imagine this man that had been in this blind condition for many years when Jesus touched his eyes and he looked up and he seen for the first time? I'm going to tell you, that man left that meeting that day. And no doubt he said, oh, things look different now. Now, I want you to notice something in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. It's very different than any other passage in the Bible. Here, it's not teaching a progressive salvation. The Bible tells us when a man's heart turns toward God, he repents of his sin and he asks Him to forgive him and to be his Savior. Instantly at that time, that person is born again by the Spirit of God and their name is written down yonder in glory land. And in this Bible, you'll notice that when Jesus touched him, he began to see. He just couldn't see real clearly. So here we have a progressive state that's going on. I remember when Jesus touched me and I opened my eyes and I seen things, but I didn't see it real clearly. But the older I've got around Him and the more I look up to Him, I see things clearer today than I've ever seen in my life. The day I first got saved, oh, I've never seen nothing like what I see. But I'm going to tell you, I see a lot more today since I've been walking with Jesus. And in this step of this progressive work that God is doing in His life, I want to say something. Don't throw people under the bus because they not seeing what you're seeing. Don't throw people under the bus just because they seem to not be spiritually where you are. I want to say it takes a little time for folks to see things like Jesus wants us to see. Now, I'm glad the day that God saved me. I was eternally saved that morning, forever saved, settled in heaven, written in the Lamb's Book of Life, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and heaven was my home. That morning when I stepped out of the pew at Sandy Flat Baptist Church and trusted Christ, asked Him to save me, if I'd have been killed in a car wreck going home, heaven would have been my home. I would have had bad thoughts between here and there, but honey, let me tell you, I'm glad that what the blood of Jesus does, He does forever. But I come to tell you this morning, there is a progressive walk walking with the Lord. So let's look at this. As Jesus touched this blind man, things look different. Now I want to ask you, from the day you got saved to right now, does things look different to you now? I got saved when I was 20 years old. I'll be 60 in March, and you can keep your opinions to yourself, amen? But I want to say that things look different at 60 than they did 20. Shake your little baby's head up and down. You look a little different too. Somebody say amen. My goodness, I want you to get this morning. Things look different now. I want to say, first of all, my hope looks different now. I'm not hoping in the things of this world to bring me joy and peace and happiness. The Bible word for hope, it doesn't mean wondering. It means expecting. Expecting to receive. My hope is different now. I want to ask you, do you have hope in your life today? I wanted to put a banner in our churchyard some 6 weeks ago. I'd had this thought at home. You know, you've tried everything else. Why don't you try God? People has tried the treasures of the world and the measures of the world. And you know that stuff, it's just lasts for so long and it all plays out. Have you ever noticed how you get something, and man, you got it home, and you covered it up with a tarp, and 3 weeks later, buzzards is roosting on top of it. Somebody say amen. In other words, you thought a whole lot of it, but the new wore off of it. But oh, this morning, I'm going to tell you, Jesus will give you a hope like you've never had. Now, I want to say my hope looks different now. Now, in 1 John 3, in verse number 1, I sure am glad that I have a loving hope. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear, but we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. We have a loving hope. In 1 Peter 1 and verse number 1, we have a living hope. 1 Peter 1:1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. I like this, reserved in heaven for you. Things look different now. My hope looks different now. Since Jesus has opened my eyes, I'm going to tell you my hope looks different now. What are you hoping in this morning? I'm glad I have a loving hope. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath loved us that He's bestowed upon us that we'll be called the sons of God. I'm glad God loves us all this morning. And certainly we have a loving hope. We have a living hope. That thing gets up and goes to bed with me every time. I sure am glad it lives in me this morning. And then 1 Peter 3:15, I have a lasting hope. 1 Peter 3:15, I sure am glad I have a lasting hope. Here the Bible simply tells us, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Somebody asks you, say, well, how are you doing today? You say, well, I feel a little sick in body, but I know where I'm headed when I die. I know in whom I believe, and He is, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that glorious day. Do you have that living hope in you this morning? I'm talking about when the preacher's walked out of the room, when the family's walked out of the room, and it's just you and God. Do you have that hope that's living in you this morning? Oh, things look different now. You may be looking by way of Facebook this morning. I want to ask you something. This world has religion, but do you have Jesus? Has there ever been a time that you realized that you was a sinner and you needed the Savior? You repented of your sins and your heart turned to Christ. And He's made something different out of you. I sure am glad things look different now. My hope looks different now. The Bible said that He was restored back in our text. But then notice what He does, this blind man in Mark 8:25. The Bible simply says this, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Boy, it does pay to live in the country. Somebody say amen. But you see, I want to say things look different now. Not only does my hope look different now, but oh, my home looks different now. How is your home? How is your house? You'll notice when Jesus restored sight to this blind man, He sent him back to his house. Can I tell you, if there's ever been a day and an hour when folks that need to see Christ the way this man seen Him at the house, it is in this day and this hour. Is Christ just something you do on Sunday? Or is Christ something to you Monday through Sunday? And so here, I want to say my house looks different. Now, Proverbs 18:23, I want to say something to you young men real quick in passing. My wife looks different now. Proverbs 18:22. I want to read something to you out of the Bible. Well, my house looks different now. My wife at the house. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso, that word covers a variety of people and situations. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth a favor of the Lord. Honey, you've been a good thing to me. And sir, if you have a wife this morning, you ought to realize that God has entrusted you with a great treasure. I want to say my wife looks different now. I used to take a lot of things for granted. Any of you ever tried to raise children, bathe them, get them in bed, get them up, get them fed, get them clothed? You know, a lot of times we as men, we run in and we run out and we really forget what that wife of the home is really doing for our house. I tell you what, some of you men ought to turn around this morning and say, honey, You a good thing. Turn around and tell them if you got, honey, you a good thing. It'll help you this evening. Turn around and say, honey, you a good thing. Now turn around and say, honey, now you the best thing. Don't put icing on the cake. Honey, you the best thing. Some of you rednecks need to listen to your country preacher this morning. Amen. It'll help stuff down there where you live. So you need to realize, we that are older and walking with the Lord and got old, hey, my house looks different now. My wife looks different now. I appreciate my wife in ways that I never did before. You know, it's a blessing when you get older and you're just sitting down in a recliner and you reach over and say, hey, baby, I love you. She says, I love you too. And she looks back at her phone. Somebody say amen. But at least she says, I love you. We was a date, and I've always been a real affectionate person. Miss Renee would say, I love you. And so now that's good for her for a few days. I remember Brother David, we was in a white Chevrolet. We was going out in front of the mansion. I was dating her, and I told her down about Bowden that I loved her. I told her about the city limits again that I loved her. And I looked over at the man and said, baby, I love you. She said, you done told me that 3 times. I just want to know I loved her. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this morning, my home looks different now. I want to say my wife looks different now. Then I want to say secondly, not only does my wife look different now, but my strife looks different now. I want to say this. I want you to look in your Bible. 1 Peter 3, verse number 1. 1 Peter 3, verse number 1. My strife looks different now. You know, people's profiles, people's makeups are so diverse and so different. I've been into classes and schools where you'd take out 100 questionnaire. You'd fill them all out, hand them back in the instructor, and they would tell you you were A, B, C, or D profile. In other words, ever how you answer those questions, that shows you what type of person you are, who you were born like. The reason a lot of you can't get along in your marriage is because you're just alike. You're always a button. The reason people don't get along with other people a lot of times is just like they're looking in a mirror. They're looking at their own self. You watch this. Most of the people that you have issues with, they're just like you. And so I ran that little rabbit to tell you this. I was born with the hammer cocked back. That's my nature. I'm just that type of person. I mean, I'm just ready to go off any moment. Now, other people are just like this. Really? Can any of y'all know where I'm preaching this morning? I'm talking about how we're made up, how we're... Somebody say something to you, you say, whoo, you done bark back for you, know what you said. Other folks say to you, you say, that don't matter. My strife is different now. I'm going to try to help some of you young families to say this morning. Look in the Bible. 1 Peter 3, verse number 1. 1 Peter 3, verse number 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the behavior of the wives. In other words, it's saying this, ma'am, if your husband's not saved, if you'll live and be that light in front of him, God will deal with him. Let him see you being a Christian and loving Jesus. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man or the woman of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. See, quietness, when you want to say something in the sight of God, is great. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter is yours, as long as you do well and are not afraid with amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Watch, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together. Any man that hit his wife, he's a low life. Any man that beat a woman, he's a low life. Watch this. The weaker vessel. As being heirs together of the grace of life. Watch, here it is now. That your prayers be not hindered. You know, there's been times that I would say some type of little smart aleck remark before I'd leave. I remember one morning in particular, before we'd added the wings on. It was really nothing, but I made a big deal out of it before we left. Isn't it amazing how the devil won't mess with you till Sunday morning? Somebody say amen. Man, I done let that little mouth get wild, you know, and overloaded me and said something, done hurt my wife's face. She come in. Of course, you know the look. So I got ready, and Brother Dave's going to lead singing. And he looked and he said, "What's wrong with you this morning?" Brother Jeff, you know what I've done? Brother Dave said, I reached over that pew and that's why I said, "Baby, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I acted crazy." It wouldn't hurt some of you to say, "I'm sorry" every now and then. If you want to have, you that's always want to have the last word, say, "I'm sorry." So this is what I want to say. My strife looks different. The things that don't matter in 100 years, let it go. Let it go. Don't let it bog down your marriage and your relationship. Let it go. Forgive one another by the grace of God. Nobody's perfect. And younger couples, let me tell you something. When you get older, you're going to get set in your ways and your nerves is going to be shot. And so you've got to learn to give each other some space. And what really matters to them, let it happen for them. Let it happen. I hear people say, "Well, my husband, all he wants to do is hunt. At least he ain't hanging out in the bar." Now, sir, you ought to come home at nighttime. Shake your little baby's head up and down. You didn't marry a four-wheeler or a deer stand. But you know, we got to realize things that used to really bother us. We got to realize, "Lord, help me with that. Lord, help me with that." My strife is different now. I'm a lot easier to live with. Some of y'all can't believe that, can you? But I am a lot easier than I used to be to live with. I'm even a lot easier preaching than I used to be. You know why? I've got older now, and I've done realize, well, you know, the light may not fully come on yet. Just keep a preaching. Just keep them around Jesus. Don't give up on nobody. There's always hope if they're living. Things look different now. I want to say my hope looks different now. My house looks different now. The wife of my house. The strife of my house. And I want to say in Psalms 128, I want you to look here, the life at my house. 128, verse number 1. I met a family or two this week. And I told them my regular routine on Sundays. I said, "Well, you know, we go to the house of God. Most every Sunday, my wife has a meal prepared. Our family sits around the meal. The grandbabies bow their heads. Sometimes all of them pray." And this is what they said. They said, "Well, we commend you for that because you don't see much of that happening anymore." But I want to say something today. The life at my house. Psalms 128. And by the way, it does pay to serve God. Psalms 128. In verse number 1, look what your Bible says. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion." You look around this morning, if you're not blessed, it's not God's fault. If you'll serve the Lord, He will give you things money cannot buy. "Yes, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel." Lastly, this morning, things look different now. My hope looks different now. My house looks different now. But I want to say He looks different now. Now, I want to ask y'all something. When I read you in Mark's text, chapter number 8, this is what happened. There were some people got a burden for this boy that was born blind. They said, if we can get him to Jesus, when's the last time you've had a burden for somebody that can't see? They said, we're going to bring him. Now, look what they done. They had to get him by the hand. And they led him to Jesus. That reminds me, you got to reach out to some people. Some people is wanting us to reach to them. So when they reached out, he responded and they led him to Jesus. This is what happened. When Jesus put his hands on him, Jesus lifted his face. When he opened his eyes, he saw Jesus. I remember when my eyes got open, I'd never seen Jesus the way I seen Jesus that time. And then you'll notice this. Jesus said, how are you? He said, I can see, but it's not real clear. And Jesus touched him again. And look what the Bible said. Jesus made him look up. And he said, now I see clearly. You know, it may be the reason that you're not seeing real good. You're not looking up enough. Maybe the reason that it won't clear up for you, maybe you're not looking up to where you need to look to. Jesus, this is yours. This is my life given unto you. And I know there are no accidents that happen. God, you've been good to me. And I want to say, church, the older I've got in the Lord and the more I've walked with Him and the more I look unto Him, oh, how I see clearly. And I want to say this something to you young people. I will never allow this church pulpit to become a rally stump in politics, but I want to remind you something. By being a man of God and a preacher of the gospel, I am to tell you what is wrong and what is right. So don't label me as all I want to do is preach on politics. Now, I run that to tell you this. I'm older now, and some of you young families don't realize what's trying to happen to our country. They're trying to run our country in the ground. If you'll get a look at Him, you'll just really realize and you'll get a clear view on this old world how wicked it really is. You're saying, well, preacher, you going to vote for Donald Trump? I'll walk to Birmingham to vote for him. Absolutely. What's your option? Amen. You young families, these young people, they've been educated so liberally. Now, we've got 30-year-olds and down. They don't even know what a job is. They don't know what authority is. Mom and daddy, raise your children right. Tear their backside up when they need it. Teach them discipline. Teach them to respect authority. Teach them to love God. And the only way you can teach them to love God is if you love God yourself. Don't do. Don't tell them, well, you do as I say do, not as I do. That's hogwash. Well, I'll probably give you a little pep talk this morning. I can tell you one thing. The average young couple, you know what they see? They say, well, another election. We won't go vote. And we'll let them older people vote. Do you have any idea what the devil's trying to do to our nation? You know the first thing they're going to come after your preacher that's preaching out of a Bible. A man still get up and say that killing babies is sin and homosexuality is sin. They're coming after your man of God. We better do right. Love people. Amen. Love people. Nothing wrong with loving people. Amen. I just want to go and draw a line in the sand and tell you this morning, I ain't moving. I ain't got no place to go. Amen. Well, let's do this now. We're going to let our babies come. I felt